Good evening and welcome to the Sunday School lesson for Sunday, July the 19th, 2020. This is the spring quarter, 2020. I'm your Sunday School teacher for today, Freddie Howard, the host of House's Production Gospel Blog Talk Radio. Sunday School lesson from Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, Peterman, Alabama, 36471. Telephone number is 251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. Reverend Waylon Oliver is our pastor. Sister Joyce Oliver is the first lady. And our clerk is Miss Lisa Starwith. We have Sunday school every Sunday. And just like many churches, we are doing it by way of internet, web broadcasting. Sunday school is every Sunday morning, and we have been broadcasting and doing the Sunday school services for you for several weeks now. Our worship service, we move to 8:30 in the morning on Sunday mornings of second Sunday, fourth Sunday, and fifth Sundays at Antioch Baptist Church. All right. Let us go to the throne. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we are eternally grateful and thank you that we have this medium to reach out to churchgoers and Christians all over the world. We thank those for Antioch Baptist Church that are listening and tuning in weekly and listening to the Sunday school lesson. We thank you for the trials and tribulations that we're going through that is preparing us for a better place. We know that those that know Jesus Christ know that in times of trouble and trials, that is, you hold on to Jesus Christ's hand. You hold on and you keep the faith. You continue to assemble yourselves together. As God had asked you, you continue to worship and walk Christ-like in love and care for people. We thank you for Pastor Oliver and Sister Oliver as they toil in this life, like we all do, to lead this flock of Antioch Baptist Church. These many blessings we ask in our Son Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We hope that you have been following along on the weekly readings prior to the Sunday school lesson. Well, Monday, July the 13th, Jesus restores Lydia's daughter to life. That's Mark's the fifth chapter, verses 35 through 43, and it reads thusly: Mark, the fifth chapter, verses 35 through 43, and it reads, "While he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue house certain who said, 'Their daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?' As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, 'Be not afraid, only believe.' And he permitted no man to follow him except Peter and James and John and the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the turmoil of those who wept and wailed greatly. And when he was done, and when he was come in, he said unto them, 'Why make ye this ado and weep? The child is not dead, but sleep.' And they laughed at him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and entered in where the child was lying. And he took the child by the hand and said unto her, 'Tabitha,' which is being interpreted as 'little girl, I say unto thee, arise.' And straightway the child arose and walked in the ways of the age of 12 years. They were astonished with a great astonishment, And he charged them strictly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Something should be given her to eat. The thing about this Sunday school lesson is wisdom of Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus, and wisdom that astounds and offends, a powerful lesson Jesus is teaching about life and him bringing people back to life. Some people still don't believe. Back then, they were laughing him to scorn when he had told them that the child was only sleeping and that for them not to worry. A key verse says, when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jones and Judah and Simon, and are not in his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. That is still true today, of leaders and people that speak of wisdom and do things. The folks right there at home around you do not care too much for you. They are offended by you. And that is true in Jesus' time. It's still true today. Let's go to the Tuesday scripture. Each one of these scriptures lead us closer to the bright light of the Sunday school lesson, which will be Jesus' wisdom astonishes hometown people. Samaritan testify of the wisdom of Jesus. This has come from John, the 4th chapter, 27th through the 29th verse, and the 39th through the 42nd verse. Let's return to that page. John, the 4th chapter, the 27th through the 29th verse. Okay. And it begins. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, who seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meantime, his disciples besought him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have food to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him anything to eat? Let's look at verses number 39 through 42. 39 through 42. Jesus and the Samaritans. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. For the saying of the woman who testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words, because of his own word. And he said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. There is in this scripture, Samaritans and the Jewish people did not interact and be around each other much. That still goes back to racism, how blacks don't associate with whites, Mexicans and people don't associate with Puerto Ricans. Jews don't associate with Gentiles or whatever. Indian. It's still true today. But Jesus Christ, he blew all of those things out of water. Jesus Christ interacted with the Samaritans. He was interacting with the Samaritan woman here. He sat down with the, what they call wine bibbers, the drinkers, the ones that was drank a lot of alcohol, so to speak. God, Jesus went beyond their norms. He broke all of those human traditions of things that they did, such as washing their hands before they eat, all the things, because it's not what goes into your body so much that defiles, is what comes out of you that defiles you. Let's go to Wednesday's scripture, which comes from Colossians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. All wisdom dwells in Christ. All wisdom dwells in Christ. All wisdom. That's a powerful statement there. All wisdom dwells in Christ. Colossians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. And it reads, the Godhead incarnated in Jesus Christ, the font of wisdom. Jesus, God Almighty, is wisdom, the creator. And it reads, for I would that ye know that great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and as many as have been seen my face in the flesh. That's verse 1. Verse 2. There their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding. All that is saying is that you're fully in Christ. You understand. You're together. You the unity of Christ and his teaching and all there is to say. Their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, which overcomes a whole lot of things, and unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding, and understand to the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father of Christ. All right. Let me turn that off. Okay, let's go to verse number 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Look at that. Oh, man. And verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Verse number 5, and it reads, for thou I am the absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joy and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Those are powerful verses there. The danger from enticing words. You can be sidetracked by listening to other stuff that is not of Christ. It is very much important that you stay focused, that you stay focused on Jesus Christ. All wisdom dwells in Jesus Christ. It is nothing wrong. You find no schism. When I say schism, no division, no nothing in the understanding of Jesus Christ that will lead you astray. Studying God's word, following Jesus Christ's teaching, the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, oh, so many, all the things coming from Christ is of good and edifying for the body of Christ. Okay, let's look at Thursday. Jesus denounced human traditions. This is Mark, the 7th chapter. Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 8. And we return. Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Jesus denounces human traditions. We were talking about that earlier, so far as human traditions and how what we do. We have so many traditions of human that we do that goes against what Christ is talking about. And one of those examples that we gave earlier, washing your hands and things and all the different things. Nowadays, in regards to coronavirus, they're saying continually wash your hands and be prepared and wearing masks and things like that. And certain things and in certain conditions, under the wisdom and guidance of God, obeying is better than sacrifice. Okay? No confusion there, no schism in his word, but there are some human traditions that are not good for the body of Christ. Let us begin with Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 8. God's commandment versus man's traditions. All right? Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes who came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they that wash their hands, often eat not, holding the traditions of the elders. Oh, look at that. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, often not eat, holding the traditions of the elders. And look at verse 4. And when they come from the marketplace, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there are, which I have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots and bronze and vessels and of tables. We be washing a lot of stuff now. Dishes. Some things it has to be clean to a certain extent. But the thing about it, you don't allow those things to usurp your understanding and your wisdom of Jesus Christ and God Almighty, the Creator. It's a certain thing such as eating certain foods and certain things like that. God's word said, pray over whatever you have to eat and go ahead and eat. But we must understand these things with a spiritual wisdom and growth and understanding. This does not mean that you be foolish. You can't take a pot or pan or plate of a spoon out of a garbage can filled with maggots and just eat straight out of the spoon. Okay? Now, you can, and there is a risk of you endangering yourself with disease, but be wise, be smart. Okay? All right, let's look at verse number... verse number 5. Then the Pharisees, scribes, asked him, why walk not thou disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? They asking him, why you Jesus, you and the disciples, why y'all break our traditions, okay? And watch what he says. He answered and said unto them, Well had Isaiah prophesies of you hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is, eh? Do one thing and say another. Say one thing and do something else. Act one way but do something else. You say you're going to go left and you go right. You say you're going to go right and you go left. In other words, you don't do what you say, okay? Hypocrite. You're two-faced. You wishy-washy. You can't be relied on, okay? You say you're going to go to New York. You ain't going to New York. You may go to Boston. Okay? Anyway, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Y'all honor me with your lips, such as praying and opening public. I had the opportunity several weeks ago when I was interviewing a guy, and I asked him about praying, and he said that he don't pray openly. He don't. On the radio or any place that he goes into his secret place, a closet or wherever he finds that he go to pray, and he pray in a closed environment with God. I have no problem with that because God says go in your closet or wherever and pray. You pray in a closed situation with me and I will reward you openly. God's word says that. I have no problem with that. If someone says that they do not pray openly like the Pharisees stood on the corner and pray and show out, you know, amongst people. And God is telling them, your words are there, but your heart is far from me. Okay? Let's look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, however, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, you don't focus on God's word, which is God's word, Jesus God made flesh, which is the word here. But you focus on, say, the Constitution or different laws that man make. You see what I'm saying? You focus on God's word, God's written word, which is made flesh, the word of the Bible here. Let's go to verse 8. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things you do. Oh, God has confounded them. Jesus has confounded them and confusing them, isn't he? Oh, it's powerful. Okay. All right. Let's go to Mark, the 7th chapter. We're still there. The 9th through the 15th verse. The 9th through the 15th verse. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of God, that you may keep your own traditions. How many of you are doing that? How many of you are doing that? That's a profound question for you. How many of you are doing just that? All right, for Moses said, I honor thy father and thy mother. Whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. Oh, what a profound word there. For Moses says, honor thy father and thy mother. And whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. That is strong there. Honor your mother and father. You know, when your mom, your dad, or whoever somebody is in your family, it's God tell you to take care of them first. Then seek things from the church or some other source, okay? Let him die the death. In other words, it is not good that you don't throw away your mom and dad. It's not good. Let him die the death. But you say if a man, this is verse 11, but you say that if a man shall say to his father, mother, it is Corban that I say a gift by whatever that might be profited by, that he shall be free. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift by whatever thou mightest be profited by me, it shall be free. And verse 12, and ye shall permit him no more to do anything for his father or his mother. Verse 13, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such things do we. Oh man, that is so powerful. Tradition of the elders was called the oral law, which was alleged to be handed down from Moses, is actually a tradition interpretation in the written law. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The sense of the latter part is, I have dedicated to God that which would receive your need. No longer do you Pharisees and scribes permit us to use it for his father or mother. Oh man, take care of your mom and dad, mother and father. Don't let what the laws and stuff perceive you prevent you from taking care of your mom. Suppose there's a law that says you can't give your mother this or that, whatever amount there is, and you don't give them anything. You know that you need to give to your mother or your father. Okay? If they are in need, you give to them. Okay. Let's look at verse number 17 through 23 of Mark the 7. This says, the heart, not the stomach, defiled. Mark the 17th through the 20th verse. the 23rd verse. Let's read the 17th. All right. And when he had entered into the house from the people, his disciple asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are ye not without understanding? Do ye not perceive that whatever things from the outside enter into the man, it is not defile him? Because it is entered into his heart, but into the stomach, and goeth out from the draught, purging all food. All right, what he's saying is that you take food in and go into the stomach, and then it's excreted, you know, through your bowels and stuff like that, and it's gone. But guess what? The stuff that you take in, it goes into your heart and dwell there. That's the thing that's going to defile you. You take in anger and hatred and evil and deception and trickery and lies and backstabbing and other stuff, and then you take a step to put those things into action. You begin to backstab people and cheat people and do things because those types of things is in your heart. That's what gets you in trouble, okay? All right, not the food that you eat that goes through the mouth and down to the bowels and to the stomach and then excreted. But the things that comes into your heart and stay there, that's what gets you in trouble. Okay, that's what gets you in trouble. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Okay, whatsoever. Okay, let's go back here and make sure we get that right. Okay. Okay, 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Okay, let's look at 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeded evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murder. Just like we said before, those things that you put into your heart of deception and deceiving and lying and backstabbing and murdering people and talking about people and degrading people, all that stuff come out of your heart. Okay? Look at verse 12, now number 22. Theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lavishness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All that stuff come out of your heart. It don't come out of your stomach. You don't eat that. Those are thoughts. Those are mindsets that goes into your heart. The heart is the center of the man. Verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Oh, what a powerful. That is so powerful. These scriptures that we have read in leads us up to this lesson for today. Okay. The wisdom of Jesus, wisdom that astounds and offends. The lesson aim is to identify the reasons or reason why the people in Nazareth could not accept the wisdom of which Jesus spoke. Remember what we said, somebody from your hometown you don't always respect. And Jesus, and this is anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes, it can. Jesus Christ came out of Nazareth. Repent of occasions when Jesus would result in their taking offense rather than accepting the wisdom inherent in these words. Sometimes we do take offense at words of wisdom. Commit to accepting the words of Jesus when his words are challenging and stretching. All right. Key terms for today: hometown, your homeland, your own home, in your own community. Miracles, right? Powerful, marvelous work, mighty works. Prophet, a person that's gifted at expounding divine truth. Synagogue, a place of assembly or congregation. Teach, to teach, direct, admonish. Took offense, and was made to stumble, sin, become indignant, shocked, offended. All of those are key words for the understanding of this lesson when it comes to speaking the truth in Jesus Christ. and what he was saying and how people took offense to what he was teaching and who he was teaching with and who he was meeting with and who he was sitting down talking to. You can be blocked by your blessing by throwing up a fence to by who says it. Say, for instance, if the drunk on the street, even though he may be drunk, and he may come along and say, for example, you need to stop running that stop sign, Mr. Howard, even though he's drunk. I may take offense to that. He's a drunkard trying to tell me how to drive. But guess what? The truth of the matter is, Mr. Howard, you need to stop at the stop sign. Okay? All right? Why this lesson matters? Some people amaze us by displaying unexpected wisdom. What happens when people show such extraordinary wisdom? Mark tells us that the people in Jesus' hometown were both astounded and offended by Jesus' wise teaching, and the religious leaders were incensed when Jesus' wisdom challenged their tradition. Look at that. Washing of hands and pots and pans and things like that. Saying one thing and doing another. All right. The lesson in focus. The roots, the new generation misery, we introduced the character of Jim Warner and Carrie Barton, played by Richard Thomas, John's boy in the Waltons TV show. And Faye Hauser, Jim, was the son of a well-to-do white Southern politician during Reconstruction. Carrie was an African-American teacher hired to teach the local segregated school. They were both young and intelligent. Despite society prohibitions against such interracial marriage, Jim and Carrie fell in love and got married. One would think that neither of them would return to Jim's hometown, but that's exactly what Jim did. He rode into town with his new wife. To no one's surprise, their presence created an uproar in both the white and black communities. Eventually, Jim's father defused the situation by intervening and declaring that his son should be treated as if he were black. At the following Sunday services at the black church, congregation were hesitant about interacting with this new couple. That was until Tom Harvey, played by George Stanford Brown, the acknowledged leader of the local black community, embraced them into the community. Jim was rejected by his community, but he found acceptance in the black community. In an ironic twist, Jim's son became a doctor and by chance rendered aid to Jim's now frail father. Because he's black, the white townspeople prevented Jim's son from helping Jim and already made a diagnosis that could have intervened successfully. Instead, they took Jim's father to the local white doctor, where he soon dies. The white townspeople's rejection of Jim's son was not surprising. However, it reminds us that too many of our society reject sound wisdom, others because they are preconceived prejudice. That is a very good example of black-white relationship and racism and how your perceived will lead you to destruction. You'd be wrong. The lesson in context. Whereas Matthew, Mark, see Matthew, the 13th chapter, 54 through 48 verse, and Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 6, say that Jesus went to the hometown and began to teach in their synagogue. Luke portrays Jesus as making a formal sermonic presentation in the synagogue, reading from the book of Isaiah and expounding on the scripture, and it is fulfillment in himself. See Luke, the 4th chapter, 16 through 29 verse. In all three Gospels, the people are both astounded and offended at him. Jesus' teaching and preaching are very sharp and critical, especially of religious leaders who have varied from the truth of God. This style reflects what the writer of Hebrews says of the Word of God. Indeed, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing into until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. In other words, it will rattle your bones. It will penetrate the truth. Cuts going and coming. The truth of God's word. The truth of God's word. Piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow. See Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 12 through 13. And today's focus scripture, Mark 6, verses 1 through 6. Jesus made one final attempt to minister to his hometown. After being rejected, Jesus went into the surrounding region to share his message. All right. Where was Jesus headed in verses 1? Okay. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. His disciples followed him. All right. Let's go to insight. As we ponder the reaction of the people of Jesus' hometown and his teaching, we must realize that he grew up among them. He no doubt had led them an uneventful life until this point. His family was not well-to-do. His father was an everyday carpenter. Jesus had not attended special training with the Jewish synagogue leaders. By all accounts, the people of Nazareth had an unimpressed view of their native son. What is amazing, though, is that they were astonished at his teaching. He spoke as they had never heard before. He did perform a few miracles there. Still, they could not get over the fact that this was Joseph and Mary's boy. They knew Jesus' siblings. Nothing in his past or family history gave them a hint as to what Jesus was doing now. Upon closer inspection, we can only come to one conclusion. If Jesus had been some stranger from another region, they would have gladly accepted him. Instead, he was a homeboy that everybody knew. Their rejection was symptomatic of the most Jews of Jesus' day would do. They would reject him to their loss, but all that received him were greatly blessed. Exploration. How can you approach today's lesson? How you approach today's lesson depends upon your age mix and your understanding. You should consider using one or more of the introductory illustrations to gauge your thinking. A question to consider as you share your thoughts is, which is more important to you? Who and what is being said? Who and what is being said? And what is being said? After interacting with this question, you should proceed directly to the lesson exposition. You should keep the following points of emphasis in mind. Some people become suspicious when persons display superior gifts that challenge their thoughts and action. Some church folks tend to hold to traditions even when the traditions no longer make sense. Some people do not really accept it when their neighbors surprisingly become famous. How about that? Let's begin with the exposition of the lesson. The first one, they said, and he went out from hence and came into his own country, and the disciples followed him. He wasn't getting accepted at home, so he had to go out. And when the Sabbath day came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished at his saying. Jesus left his hometown. All right. And the disciples followed him. Okay. In verses 1 through 3, Jesus made his final attempt to minister in his hometown. He had previously tried with little success. Luke recorded the story of the beginning of Jesus' Galilee ministry. Luke had a different purpose in mind. He wanted to show Jesus' authority in action, while Mark emphasized Jesus' work in the region of Galilee. Since Mark identified Nazareth as Jesus' hometown, he did not mention the town by name and verse. We must give Jesus credit for returning to his hometown after the negative reaction of his first trip. We should view Jesus' final visit home in the context of Israel in general. He was giving his own every opportunity to accept him as their Messiah. While only some of the disciples were with Jesus in Jairus' house, all of the disciples accompanied Jesus to Nazareth. On the Sabbath, Jesus began to teach in the Nazareth synagogue. This was no doubt that Jesus' teaching was extraordinary. The people were simply amazed. Mark had previously used similar recording to Mark. Mark had previously used similar wording in Mark, the first chapter, verse 22. When Jesus had performed other miracles, however, we will see that the people's initial reaction in verse 2 did not continue. No doubt, there were many in attendance who only saw the boy with whom they grew up. All right. Let's go to the next outline. This is Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 2b. From whence has this man these things? From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which he gives unto him, that even such mighty works were wrought by his hand? They are wondering and plundering and doubting whatever he do. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and John and Judah and Simon, and not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Oh, they were offended at Jesus. He was one of them, and they still rejected him. They still reject him. Just like it said before, when someone, your next door neighbor, becomes famous, some of us will reject that person. Okay? Where did this man get these things? They ask. What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? See? Jesus' hometown crowd took extreme pains to voice their hostility toward him. In a series of rhetorical questions to them, Jesus was a mockery. In the first question, they only saw Jesus as no better than one of them. In the second question, how could he be talking on the level of a rabbi without any formal training? For the third question, they were in a sense calling him a fraud. The townspeople were just getting started. They next mocked Jesus, calling him a carpenter. In other cases, he would have been an honorable profession. How about that? However, they were using this to mean that Jesus was unlearned. When they called him son of Mary, they were insulting Jesus. Why, people of Jesus, they were known by their father's name, not their mother's. We assume that Jesus' siblings mentioned in verse 3 were born to Joseph and Mary. Since he was mentioned first, James was the oldest of Joseph and Mary's biological children. He was the best known, a leader in the early church, and most likely the writer of the Epistle of James. Judas was most likely the author of the Epistle of Jude. We know nothing more about his sisters, even their name. The bottom line was simple. The people of Nazareth were really upset with Jesus. Look at that. The people of Nazareth were upset at Jesus simply because of he displaying powerful knowledge, simply because he was doing miracles, simply because they knew he was Mary and Joseph's son. He was the boy from Nazareth. You know what I'm saying? They just did not give him any credit. Okay. Let's go to this last outline. This is Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 6. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kind, and his own house. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kind, and his own house. Do not be disturbed or distraught that your folks at home reject you. Continue to do what is good and what is right. Okay? Because they rejected Jesus, just as we have been speaking of here in this lesson. And he could there no doubt mighty works. And he could there no doubt mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. Even though he saved folks and healed them, they still rejected him. Remember this story about the interracial marriage and the son becoming a doctor, and white folks didn't want the black man to treat the white folks. End up dying because he wouldn't let the black mixed doctor or mixed race treat their mother or father. That's the epitome of cutting off your nose to spite your face. That really drives it home. Okay? And verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Jesus marveled at their unbelief. Their unbelief. And he went around about the village teaching. Oh, man. How could Jesus respond to the various insults leveled against him? We find the answer in verse 4. Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. And it goes on to say, Jesus did not use a loud voice to shout a response. He simply shared a statement common to the time. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. Verse 4, he added, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Literally, Jesus was saying that complete strangers would accept him before those that knew him, his best would. In truth, that was what's happening. Prophet was one of Jesus' roles during his first coming. It's in Mark the 6th chapter, verse 15, and John the 6th chapter, verse 14. What might strike as a downright heartbreaking was the rejection of Jesus by his own family. By his own family. That is clear in verse 4, Mark 3 and 21, 31 through 35. While we read about the three spectacular miracles in Mark 5, we find that Jesus had limited success in his hometown. Only a few sick people received healing. It was not a surprise that the people of Nazareth had so little faith. It might have been understandable if they were only going on what they had heard. In this case, they had seen Jesus perform miracles and teach with such authority. For the people of Nazareth, seeing was not believing. Seeing was not believing. Having little success at home, Jesus and his disciples departed for other towns in the Galilee region in which to teach and share about the kingdom of God. Powerful, isn't it? Powerful, isn't it? Oh, man. Wonderful God, thank you for not pulling back your outstretched hands when doubt arose in our hearts. We thank you for your patience with us. You have been better to us than we have been, than we deserve. You are worthy of all our praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Make sure you read the lessons for next week. Next week's lesson will be Sunday, July 26, 2020. Finding One's Way. Devotion reading going to come from Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, 13 through 18. The background scripture is Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, 17. Proverbs, the 8th chapter, 32 through 36. And John, the 14th chapter, 1 through 14. And the printed text is going to come from John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 14. Make sure you read your home daily readings on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, as well as Sunday. We thank you for being here with us. We hope you are being safe and you're obeying. You're wearing your mask. You're not congregating in large crowds. Whenever the time for us to open church services back up, I'm quite sure that Reverend Oliver we'll pass the word and we will begin to meet in the church. But right now, it's not safe. For those of you that getting your children ready for school, our prayers are with you. You stay praying. You do the right things. You teach them about distancing. We know how kids love to play together. I don't know how that's going to play out. But school is to begin soon. Check with this your principal and your teachers and do all the things that you need to do. But above all, be safe. Be safe, okay? Until next week, you all be safe and obey. We'll see you next week. God bless.